realizing that our motto is SOAR in 1-4. The S was seated with Christ. The O was overcomers in life. The A is attitude will make you or break you. Today, we will hear the rest of the story. And hopefully we will inspire you to understand what the rest is. You're healed, Miriam, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. She's got something wrong with her head. Her ear, I'm sorry. Okay, now Laverne's my scripture reader because I've got two or three long scriptures, but this is about resting in the Lord. Now, as she reads them, I'm going to make some comments, but you've got to understand what rest is. Rest is not doing nothing. Rest is not being lazy and just sitting down on the job. Not biblical rest, anyway. Not the rest of God. He gives us that rest so that we can be at peace with everything. Now, Lord's going to read some scriptures for me. And the first one she's going to read is Matthew 11, 28.
Okay.
See that right there? Your notes are right there in front of you.
I see it. All right. You've heard this one read here several times, but it's Matthew 11, 28 to 30, and it's from the Message Bible. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly."
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, it's interesting to note that Jesus was not talking to a bunch of heathens. He was not talking to idol worshipers. He was not talking to pagans. He was talking to the seed of Abraham. He was talking to the heirs of the promise that had been living for centuries under the burden of the law. Jesus came to them and said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Sometimes we think that only means sin. But I know a lot of sinners out here in the world, they don't seem to be heavy laden about anything. They're enjoying what they're doing. And when you have a sense of laboring and being under heavy laden, it has to include the monumental task of trying to please God by keeping the law. They never did. They never could. And they never will. But the more we attempt to use keeping the law as our relationship with God, establishing us in the kingdom, We are constantly in a position to where we wake up at night, we're laying there at night, oh God, what didn't I do today? Or what did I do today? You know, some people's relationship with God is like being with a company. That every day on the way to work, they're worrying about whether or not they're going to have a pink slip when they get there. You know what kind of security that gives you? None. You're in a turmoil all the time. Now, this is what we're talking about. And Laverne didn't know when she went through all this stuff earlier this morning how I was going to fit in with this. But you see, our relationship with God is secured through our belief in what Jesus Christ has done. Now, it's a matter of our accepting it. Okay, now she's going to read a scripture from Psalm 37, verses 3-9. You'll recognize some of it. You probably recognize all of it, but there's at least a couple of verses that get quoted a lot. Okay.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord.
What? And
rest in the Lord.
Rest in the Lord.
Okay. And wait patiently for him.
And do what?
Wait patiently for him.
Do what?
Wait patiently for him.
Don't you hear that? Can you believe that's in there?
Yeah.
I thought everything was microwave. You want it now? 10 seconds later, you got it. Huh. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently
for him.
For him. What do you do while you're waiting patiently?
Well, you do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Verse 8. What does that all have to do with?
Attitude.
Attitude. Ceasing from anger, forsaken wrath, and not fret. It only causes harm. You get upset with somebody else, it doesn't bother them at all, but it'll mess you up.
For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth.
Woo! They that wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Who are those? Those ones that rest in the Lord. The ones that don't fret, that don't grumble, that don't complain, but they rest in the Lord. Now, resting, and we're going to build up towards this, is just confidence in where you are and in your Savior. Confidence. Okay, next scripture.
It's Jeremiah 6:16.
Now these next two scriptures, listen to them, because these people, they had it given to them on a silver platter. And look what they did.
Stand, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it.
What does it say? It said, ask for the old paths where the good way is. How many of you can look back on your life and realize that the world around you is not the same world that was around you, you older ones, especially 30, 40, 50 years ago? It's not the same world. And there's so much of a temptation to look at the world and become uneasy and be filled with unrest. But he said, if you walk in it, you will find rest for your soul. If you will live the way the Word of God that has never changed, if you will live in accordance, and I'm not talking about man's opinion, I'm talking about in accordance with the Word. You know, man has a tendency when it comes to the Word of God to add to it as much as he has a tendency to take away from it. You know, if doing this is good, then doing this would be better. If not doing this is good, then not doing this will be even better. And so it all rests in our thinking on what to do, what to do, what to do. If this is good, if I do this, it'll be better. And if I do the next thing, it'll be better. And if I don't do this, that's good. But if I don't do that, that's better. And if I don't do that, that's even better. And so what we're doing is we're always looking at things that we're not doing, things that we're not doing right, and you can never rest when all you do is look at the things that you're not doing right. Because there's always going to be something added to it. The devil's going to see to that. He'll jack it up every time. You start walking in some particular conduct, and then when you get to where you're walking good in that, something else says, well, you know, you do this over here, it'd be better. And we go, well, that's God telling me that I got to straighten up again. I got to straighten up again. You know what God's going to tell you? God is going to tell you, start believing me. He's not going to tell you straighten up and act right. He's going to say, start believing me. And that's where we're headed this morning. The only rest that you're going to find, and the rest that God's talking about, is where you completely give it all over to him and trust him with it. Not because you worked yourself up to a point where you can say, I got it all done. What are you getting done? Jesus said it's finished. Okay, next verse of scripture. Laverne talked about it this morning too.
Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear.
Now, that's the verse of scripture that inspired David Ingalls' song that Laverne was talking about this morning. Rest. They said they wouldn't rest. They chose not.
They wouldn't hear.
To rest. They would not hear. What are you saying? This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Talking about the presence of the Spirit of God. Talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Talking about God's Spirit being present in and upon our lives to the extent that I'm at peace. You know, the hardest thing to rest, the hardest thing to rest is your mind. You can rest your body. Your body will tell you, you better sit down or I'm going to fall. Your body will say, you better take a nap or I'm just going to go to sleep on you standing up. Your body will tell you that. And we can judge that. And we rest our bodies, and depending on your age, it doesn't take long. Or it takes a while. It takes my body a lot longer to rest than it did 40 or 50 years ago. I can work all day, be tired, come in, take a shower, sit down for a minute. And I was ready to go see Laverne or ready to go do something else or whatever, you know. And after a while you do that, you come to take the shower, you sit down, and you're just ready to sit there. It's time to go to bed. But our mind is a different story. But it gets to going. Any of you know, I know you got computers. Most of you. Y'all have any problem with y'all's computers where they get too many things running? And then all of a sudden they'll start going, you hear that fan in there? And then it doesn't stop until you start shutting down programs. And I think I called my son yesterday and I said, something's going on in my computer. I said, obviously there's something running in the background, because even when we're not doing anything on it, it'll sit there and all of a sudden it'll jump into that mode. It means it's fighting because it's using a lot of the random memory. And it's getting hot. The fan's running better and faster. All that's going on. You know, it happens the same way in the human mind. If you don't rest your mind, it'll blow up on you. It'll overheat. And we usually use the expression, boy, he lost it. He was just a man. We were just there talking. All of a sudden, he lost it. So keep that in mind. It's in our mind. It's where the presence of the Spirit of God needs to be in control of our mind.
You know, now, and the thing is, I'm reading this too. Can't help but say something. But it's the fact that they just refuse to hear. And the prophecy that was given by Isaiah was preaching right there in Jerusalem and saying, you need to get your hearts back with God. And because they refused to hear is when they opened up the door for the enemy to come in, and they were carried away into captivity for 70 years. Why? Did God do that to them? No. They refused to hear. They didn't want to listen.
Okay, now. We're going to have a scripture from Hebrews 11.
No, Hebrews 3.
I mean, Hebrews 3. I don't know why I said it. I saw that 11 right there.
Okay. Hebrews 3, 7 through 19. And the heading of this, of the scripture, is be faithful. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your father tested me, tried me, and now my works 40 years, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God.
Lest there be in you what? An evil heart
of unbelief.
The thing that takes away your rest in God is unbelief. If you're struggling and resting in God, it's because you're not believing strong enough in the right thing. You learn to believe strongly enough in the right thing, you will rest. And when you lay down at night, there won't be something to say, what'd you do today? What'd you do today? And God's liable to get you for it before morning. That just won't be there. And I'm not saying by any means that it doesn't matter what you do. Because like I said, rest is not inactivity. Did you know, why is it that people don't have to work too hard at being bad? I mean, you know, we don't really see that kind of a connotation. Boy, he's really working at being bad. We just look at him and say, he's bad because that's his nature. So if we don't have to work at being bad, why do we have to work so hard at being good? Well, now, in Jesus Christ, we have a new nature. One created in righteousness. So if we really, really have that relationship with God, all we need to do is to believe it and to live it. Not struggle with it. Not go like you're fighting snakes all day spiritually and then, oh God, please tell me I've done enough. All right, go ahead and finish.
It says, But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Be hardened to what? Be hardened to believing. Be hardened against the word of God.
For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end.
Whoa, let's spend just a couple of seconds here on that one. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. That's a pretty strange statement. You hold your confidence, keep your faith in God, keep your believing going until the end. Now, if you do that, you're a partaker of Christ. What if that doesn't happen? What if you started 65 times and never made it past 3 weeks? And you're always starting over. Maybe you should check to see if you have really become a partaker of Christ. Or are you just trying to turn over a new leaf because you're feeling guilty about the way you're living? That will wear you out. There is no rest for the weary that's turning a new page and starting over because they're not happy with their conduct on the old page. Read on.
While it is said, today you will hear his voice.
Yeah.
If you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpse fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
he swore that they would not enter his rest. Who did he swear that to? Those who did not believe. I mean, those who did not obey. Those who did not obey. Did not obey what? Did not obey his word to do what he promised them he would do. Let me ask you something. When we're talking about scripture, when we're talking about things like that, when we're talking about the land that Joshua took the children into, what is it usually referred to as? It's Canaan, but what is it usually referred to as? The promised land. The promised land. Why was it the promised land? It was the promised land because God promised to give it to Abraham. He did not say, Abraham, lift up your eyes and look. Look out over this land. See how good it is? Yes, Lord, I do. Well, I've got a proposition for you, Abraham. If you can take it, you can have it. Is that what he told him? Why do we get that impression that the promises of God today are for us under the condition that if we want it, then take it? Abraham was given that land on a promise by God. We have been given the things of the kingdom on a promise by God. You want to know what the specific promise really was? The promise that all other promises come from? It was the promise of the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, there's rest. To be led by the Spirit, to be living in the Spirit, we don't struggle with all the stuff that seems to be unfinished. We look at it as though it were finished. We call those things, and this comes back, this is in Romans 4. She didn't know I was doing this. I didn't know she was using Romans 4. It comes back to this. And he called those things which be not as though they were. You're struggling with finances? Quit struggling with the finances. Start calling them as though they were. And you know what? I was standing back there and thinking, and there's a lot of things going on, but our attendance has been down in the month of January. Different people I know are not here this morning because of illness and some other things, and some of them it's weather related or has been weather related. There's been all kinds of things that have kept people out. But you know, if you got a business, you got a business or you work maybe for yourself or whatever, you know, I just at thinking specifically and on targeted things now. And you know, I really realize that I can't worry a single person into this building. If you got your business, you can't worry the customers in. No matter what's going on, worrying is not going to be positive effect. Now, what do? You believe. You believe. Now, I tell you what, whether we've got 50 or 500, I believe that this congregation is going to be fit and equipped to deal with everything that life and the enemy throws at them. And if you're listening to what we teach you and something happens, you're not going to say, well, I don't know what God's doing, but he's trying to teach me something, when your head has been cut about halfway. We're trying to do everything in our power to teach you the truth. Now, yes.
Therefore, this is on in chapter 4, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it.
Lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Seem to have come short of it. Now, vision that. To illustrate this, I have a question I want to ask. Do you know what Bill Gates and the homeless man in New York City have in common? Maybe more than one thing, but there's one real significant thing that Bill Gates, richest man in the United States, and a homeless man in New York have in common. This is it. They are both citizens of the United States. And the laws of the United States and the conditions of the United States and the promises made by the United States government and the governments of the state and all the things that are available apply equally to both. If they go to court, it's supposed to be equal. Now, we know that sometimes things like that didn't happen, but under the rule of the laws of this nation, as far as this nation and its laws, Bill Gates and that homeless man in New York have exactly the same rights and privileges. Now, is there a lot of difference between Bill Gates and that homeless man in New York? Absolutely. Now, why is that? Because somewhere, some way, Bill Gates has applied the principles available to him in this country to reach the point where he is, while the other one has not put forth that much of an effort, or circumstances of multitude of reasons. But now I tell you what, most people are homeless because they're satisfied with it. It's not because they have to be. But they're still citizens. And you look at people that are Christians and you say, my goodness. You look at some of the Christians and you say, ooh-wee. You got Bill Gates Christians? And you got a homeless man in New York Christian. But what are we? Both citizens of the kingdom of heaven. It's just that somebody applied the principles better to their life than somebody else. It comes down to choosing. So some people appear that they haven't entered into the rest. All right.
Continuing on. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it.
Not being mixed with faith in those who heard.
For we who have believed do enter that rest.
We who have believed do enter that rest. Have believed what? Have believed the promise of God that we are entering into rest. Are you believing that you're resting in God, or are you trying to work your way into a position of rest? You won't work it because you won't ever get it. You got to get in it by believing that you have it.
As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world.
The works were finished from the foundation of the world.
For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works.
Why? Because he was finished.
Yeah. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again,
because of disobedience.
Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his.
One more verse.
Let us, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience.
What is the example of disobedience? Not believe in God. Why did the children of Israel spend 40 years in the wilderness? Was it because of their conduct? No, it was because of their not believing God. Now, when you don't believe God, yeah, it's going to affect your conduct. It's going to affect the way you look at things. It's going to affect your attitude more than it affects anything else. But the children of Israel, and God said, this is the promised land. It's your land. Go in and take it. And they went in and they spied it out. That was their first mistake. God tells you to do something and you start looking at it and you say, that's big. That makes a whole change in my life.
That's like what I read this morning, that little devotional, looking too far ahead at the mountain. When you're not watching where you're walking today, he may not even make you go to that mountain. You don't know.
So they had the opportunity to go in, and they did not enter in. And did you notice the way it switched all back and forth? One time it says unbelief. Another time it says disobedience. Now, when you see that, what do you think grammatically? And contextually, that one is the other. Unbelief and disobedience are the same thing. But when you look at it, you find out that their disobedience was unbelief. That's where they disobeyed God. God said, go take it, and they said, we can't. God has finished what is necessary for us to walk with him. But what we do is we look at what God has given us and we say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. First thing you have to do is learn to rest. Last thing. Remember this. Think about it. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Now, standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Okay, when do you fall? When you get off the promise. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. In other words, being constantly led by the Spirit of God. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Are you resting at your Savior as your all in all? Or are you trying to work your way into the right relationship with God so He can pat you on the back and say, son, you did a good job? Do you believe? Oh, yes, I believe, you might say. But are you resting? Resting means everything is finished and there is no more work left to do. The biggest place that Christians have trouble resting is in the sense of their relationship with God. If we can get to the point where we constantly, without any exceptions, understand that Jesus Christ solidified forever my relationship with God. I am His. We get to where we believe that, and I promise you, our lives will change to reflect it. Hallelujah. Amen. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Much broader than just rest. Okay. Well, Lord, I'm leaving it up to you. Okay. Then you do what I say. Who knocked down the walls of Jericho? Was it Joshua? The Lord did. Why did He do it? Because Joshua did what he was told. He didn't knock the walls down. God took care of that. Joshua took care of his part. What is the work of God that you're supposed to take care of? Believing in Him who He has sent. Now, we're going into the part of our service as we close up this morning where we partake of communion together. And what we're doing is really in this is saying, okay, this is a significant gesture that I believe that what Jesus did is settled, it's finished, and I can rest in it. Amen.
He then moved. Mackenzie, you have a song? Jesus said, this is my body that was broken for you. This is the blood that was shed. And you can't do anything to add to it. All you can do is accept it. So come to the table of the Lord. Come to the table of the Lord and receive and be at rest. In Jesus' name.
This is the time when true worshipers will worship Him. These are the days when my Father's ways will be known. This is the hour when the Spirit's power will move again.
Thank you, Jesus.
As we worship Him,
thank you, Jesus.
In spirit and in truth. When my Father's ways will be known to men. This is the hour when the Spirit's power will move again. All across our land, as we
talking about, we worship Him. I just had a thought strike me a day or two ago, and I talked to Laverne about it. I said, you heard people use the expression, well, he just worships her. He just worships her. She worships the ground he walks on. Now, let me ask you something. How many people, when they say that expression, if they said it about me with regard to Laverne, well, he just worships her, does that mean a certain time during the day I bow down in front of her? Or does it mean that I dance around her? Not necessarily. What does it mean? It means that I have the deepest love and respect for her that's possible. And that's what worshiping the Lord is really all about. When Jesus told the Samaritan woman, the time will come when they that worship the Lord, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. All the outward actions are great. They're wonderful, lifting our hands, doing all of those things. But worship goes even beyond that to our basic attitude toward God. Do I worship him or do I tolerate him? Do I worship him or do I just get along with him? We decide, you see, his shoe's always big. Our shoe can get bigger and bigger and bigger as we grow in him. But he's always going to love you more than you love him. Charlotte, you got something?
I'll just ask if we would just stand and pray for our pastors this morning. So we just want you to stand and stretch your hands, and Bob and Rita.
Stand here, Father, as your sons, your daughters. We can come boldly into your presence. And Lord, we just thank that you're here. Your presence is there. And Father, we rest in that presence. We rest in the anointing that's here. Lord, you give us the ability to come boldly into your presence and sit down. And Lord, we just feel, we feel. You're our Father. Lord Jesus, and we thank you. We receive everything that you have died and rose again and bought for us. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of your dear Son. And we call forth, Father, we call forth wholeness and healing in our bodies. We call forth financial restitution. Father, we call forth wisdom. We're the head, not the tail. We are above, not beneath. We thank you, Lord, that you've signed that covenant. The body of Christ is anointed to remove burdens and destroy yokes. And we receive that. Lord, you bore our sicknesses. You became sin for us. And Lord, we just receive our inheritance now. We walk in that inheritance. And we hold up that. We thank you, Father, for a fresh anointing, for a fresh baptism, the Holy Spirit rising up and manifesting. Father, we just thank you, Father. This is a new year. And we thank you for strength, for wisdom, for manifested miracles in their lives, in the lives of our church. So thank you, Father, that we get down to the business of the kingdom. The kingdom of believing, Lord, that you, what you said is true and accurate. We don't have to earn it. We just receive it. And we thank you, Father. Your word is your will. You've spoken your word. What you will, you say. What you will, you say. And what you say works your will. And we just receive that. Father, we thank you for your strength. And Lord, we just thank you that you, the body of Christ, is stronger than ever. And we're that body. And we give you praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving. And we receive your presence manifesting through us, Father, to a hurting and dying world. In Jesus' name.
Could I borrow one?